All right, let me start the show, as always, with the opening monologue, The Right Side Way. So much is being said right now about who's going to be the Democrat nominee. I mean, have you ever seen such a goat rodeo? And then yesterday, in the midst of all the news of the world and the fact that hot wars are raging, the economy is struggling, all of it, the only question the media could ask was related to the president's health. But it got quickly shut down. Biden Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre scolded the media for daring to ask why a well-known medical doctor who specializes in Parkinson's disease had visited the White House not once, but 8 times. At a time when the whole world has questions about Biden's ability to govern the affairs of state, some intrepid reporter tracked down the White House visitor logs and realized this Parkinson's specialist had made 8 trips in 8 months to visit the White House physician. The White House physician, the president's personal doctor. Keep in mind that some of the early signs and symptoms of Parkinson's can include things like slurred speech, raspy voice, stiff gait, muscle stiffness overall, difficult posture, even cognitive impairment. Sound familiar? All of which, by the way, is very important because it's his health, yes, but it's also our country. It's our lives. It's our national security. It's our economy. But according to KJP, that's private information. Cannot be discussed. How dare they ask such a question? Do you remember when the story broke on national news a couple of years ago that Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, was attacked in their San Francisco home? It resulted in him being hospitalized. Nancy was apparently in D.C. From initial reports, the San Francisco PD responded to the call at the Pelosi's home at roughly 02:30 in the morning, basically the middle of the night. Upon arrival, the first media reports indicate that as they entered, the police apparently witnessed 82-year-old Paul Pelosi and another man named David DePappy struggling with each other, both men trying to grab a hammer. We're told by reports that DePappy was allegedly yelling, "Where's Nancy?" Before police could intervene, apparently DePappy wrested the hammer away and struck Pelosi in the head at least twice, which resulted in him being hospitalized with a fractured skull. And it got weirder. DePappy was a well-known drug user, a nudist activist. He lived in a dilapidated old school bus with BLM and gay pride flags. And wait for it. He was in the country illegally, having long overstayed his Canadian visa. We were told that despite having a security system, despite having security cameras, despite having security in the neighborhood, that DePappy had easily broken into the house of one of the most powerful figures in all of world politics. Despite the fact that this occurred in a crime-friendly sanctuary city in a crime-friendly sanctuary state, DePappy was held without bail. Never mind that criminals walk free within minutes and don't even get arrested if they steal less than $1,000 in San Francisco. So many questions. So many questions. Like, who made the 911 call? How did it go? Does DePappy even know Pelosi? Who's the person that met them at the door? We found out more later, but for the longest time, we were told you cannot answer any questions. We cannot answer your questions. In fact, don't ask questions. The left-wing media and the elected Democrats, they circled the wagons, and that's what made me mad. We were told that to question it was wrong and obviously hatefully politically motivated rhetoric. The liberal DA of San Francisco initially announced that the 911 call would not be released. Even outlets like Politico, who initiated some of the early reports, began stumbling all over themselves, trying to figure out how to present their story and demand that those who questioned things be silenced. It was an amazing level of hypocrisy. I say that because I have vivid memories of questions and questions and more questions, where nothing was off limits. Back in 2017, remember when Alabama's Roy Moore was running for the U.S. Senate? An allegation of sexual misconduct arose that was over 40 years old. An allegation that has never been substantiated, by the way, but which caused a complete media-feeding frenzy. Roy Moore is from Etowah County. At that time, I was both the state senator for Etowah County and I was the Republican Party chairman for Etowah County. So, in short, every single day I was bombarded with calls and emails and requests for interviews from outlets all over the nation. I finally had to tell my secretary there'd be no more interviews. But the whole community was feeling it. Reporters literally walked the halls of the Gadsden Mall and stood out on the streets in downtown. I'm not kidding. And they literally stopped strangers asking if they had any information. I was at a high school football game myself one night and had a reporter from the Washington Post come up and ask me for an interview. You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a reporter whose sole aim in life was to dig up some unsubstantiated dirt. It got so bad, y'all, that my secretary came in one day and said, "You are not going to believe what happened." All I could say was, "What now?" Apparently her husband, who was retired, was at home and answered a knock at their front door, only to find a man he'd never seen before standing on his front stoop. The man identified himself as a reporter from some major news outlet. The man literally said that in talking to folks around town, he had learned that my secretary's husband had been a lifeguard at the YMCA 40 years prior. 40 years ago. So he had tracked down his home address and cold-called their front door because, allegedly, Roy Moore used to swim at that YMCA, and the reporter wanted to know if the husband had any interesting information. He said no and to shut the door in his face. Look, regardless of how you feel about Roy Moore, put that aside for a minute and just consider what we saw in 2017 regarding a bare allegation against a political candidate compared to what we saw in the actual event in which a crime took place at the home of the person in the line of succession to the presidency. In 2017, the Democrats had their true warm-up to the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation. In 2022, they flipped it and they used bully tactics to defend one of their own. And they're doing it again now with Joe Biden's health. The left will ask every question. They'll chase every lead. They'll make up any fact as long as it fits their agenda and gives them some kind of good clickbait news that may or may not even be true, but at least drives people to their social media. At the same time, though, when actual questions exist, well, that's actually called journalism. Really, don't make up the stories. But at the same time, when the story exists, the First Amendment guarantees us a free press and we should be allowed to ask the questions, all the questions, and we should be allowed to get to the truth, the real truth. It is not reasonable to think for a second that what took place with Roy Moore in Etowah County in 2017 was good reporting. It was not. It was sordid. It was tabloidish. But the idea of questioning, though, is supposed to be at the heart of journalism. So while I don't believe they went about it ethically, I will say I understood their motivation for the next great scoop. But now we're told that questioning's off limits. Now we're told that to probe and ask basic details for clarification is bad form. Why did a Parkinson's specialist make 8 trips to the White House? Is the president impaired? Who knows this and chose to cover it up? I don't want him to have Parkinson's. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But if he does, then give us some clear and unequivocal medical proof that he's not impaired by an insidious and debilitating disease. Look, I'm glad the media is finally awakened. Shame on them for stalling and obfuscating and even covering up what we've been seeing all along. Do all the things that a good reporter should do. Always ask for clarity. I can smell the stink of media hypocrisy right now. I know, because I've seen the other side. But at least now, they're finally asking the right questions. I say ask the questions, and that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. I mean, the liberal media, the left, has shown clearly that if they can undo something on the right, they will do whatever it takes, ask more questions, paint more images, give you all kinds of word salads to try and project what they want to basically project. But when it's on their side, holy cow, how dare you ask the question? Well, the media better get back to its First Amendment right to be free. It is time to ask all the questions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.